All right, so get ready, because today we are diving deep into early Christian beliefs about Jesus.
Sounds good.
We're going to be talking about some pretty mind-blowing concepts, especially how those beliefs connect to Jewish wisdom traditions.
Yeah, it's easy to kind of think about Christianity as something separate from Judaism.
Right.
But, you know, back then, things were much more intertwined. Those first Christians were Jewish themselves, immersed in Jewish thought and practices.
Exactly. And for this deep dive, our guide is a lecture by New Testament scholar Dr. David A. De Silva.
Okay.
He focuses on Hebrews 1.12.4.
Gotcha.
I know those verse numbers might not exactly scream excitement, but trust me.
Yeah.
This passage is packed with insights.
For sure.
It really grapples with this question that's essential to understanding how those early Christians view Jesus.
Okay.
And that is, why is the author of Hebrews so focused on comparing Jesus to angels?
Yeah, it seems a little random at first, right?
It does.
But Dr. De Silva's insights into this really help us understand not only the early Christian worldview, but also offer some thought-provoking stuff for us today even.
Okay, so one of the first things that jumps out from this passage is how the author of Hebrews really structures his argument.
Yeah.
It's not just that Jesus is better than the angels, but he's actually placing Jesus above the prophets, too.
Yeah.
So it's not just like a new and improved prophet, but like a whole different category.
Exactly. He uses this technique called antithesis to really kind of drive home this contrast.
Gotcha.
So you have the prophets on one side, these incredibly important figures in the Jewish tradition. But then you have Jesus on the other side, the Son, elevated to a completely different level.
So it's less about ranking and more about like a fundamental shift in how we understand God and his relationship with humanity.
Exactly. The author is making this point that Jesus represents a complete change in the way that God communicates with humanity.
Right.
It's not just a small update. It's a brand new era, a whole new way of understanding God's interaction with us.
I see. And is this idea that Jesus is superior to the prophets? Is that the foundation for understanding why the angel comparison is so important?
It's a big part of it, yeah.
Okay.
But to really get the author's point, I think we need to step back into the world of what's called Second Temple Judaism,
okay,
which was the dominant form of Judaism during Jesus' time.
Right.
And their understanding of angels is really important here.
So time for a little history lesson.
A little bit, yeah, just to kind of set the stage. So back then, angels were seen as these incredibly powerful beings.
Okay.
They were messengers of God's will. They were protectors. They were mediators of prayer.
They were kind of like the go-betweens.
Yeah, exactly. Bridging the gap between God and humanity.
See, they were a big deal.
A very big deal. And that's why it's so significant that the author of Hebrews is so insistent on showing that Jesus is superior to even these powerful angelic beings.
Right.
Because it really underscores Jesus's unique authority.
So by putting Jesus above angels, the author saying, hey, this is bigger than the giving of the law at Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
Exactly. It's like a giant neon sign flashing. This is important. You know,
yeah.
Like, don't miss this.
This reminds me of something that Dr. De Silva mentions about the author's use of the Old Testament.
Oh, yeah.
He calls it kaleidoscopic.
Yes, that's a great way to put it.
Could you explain that a little bit?
Sure. So he's not just pulling random verses out of context.
Right.
He's carefully weaving together these different pieces from the Old Testament to reveal this unified picture of Christ.
So kind of like creating a mosaic.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's like those kaleidoscopes we had as kids.
Right.
You'd twist it and the same little pieces of colored glass would make these entirely new patterns.
Uh-huh.
Each one kind of beautiful and complex.
Absolutely. And that's what the author of Hebrews is doing with Scripture.
So we've got this idea of the author building his case for Jesus, but where do these Jewish wisdom traditions fit in?
Yeah.
Dr. De Silva spends a lot of time on this.
He does, and for good reason, because these traditions really are like the bedrock upon which early Christians, including the author of Hebrews, build their understanding of who Jesus is.
I see. And one of the most interesting pieces of this for me is this concept of Lady Wisdom.
Yes.
Which Dr. De Silva highlights from Proverbs 8.
Right.
Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Sure. So in Proverbs 8, wisdom is personified as this feminine figure, almost like a partner to God in the act of creation.
Okay.
She's there at the beginning, involved in the very formation of the world.
That's a pretty powerful image.
It is.
And this idea of wisdom being kind of a mediating figure between God and creation.
Yeah.
That's something that continues to develop in other Jewish writings too, right?
It does. And Dr. De Silva points to the Book of Wisdom of Solomon, which was written a couple of centuries before Jesus.
Okay.
And it describes wisdom as this divine emanation, a reflection of God's own light and goodness, actively involved not just in creation, but also in the ongoing sustenance of the world.
So wisdom is like this powerful, life-giving force that flows from God.
Yes.
And sustains all of creation.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay, so how does this connect to Jesus?
Well, here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
Early Christians saw Jesus as the embodiment of this pre-existing wisdom figure.
Yeah.
They saw him as the one through whom God created the world, the one who sustains everything by his word.
So it's not just that Jesus has wisdom.
Right.
He's wisdom in the flesh.
Exactly.
That's a pretty mind-blowing concept.
It is, and it helps us understand why the author of Hebrews makes these bold claims about Jesus' existence before he was born and his exalted status.
I see.
He's drawing on these rich wisdom traditions to present Jesus as the ultimate expression of God's power and love.
Okay, so we've laid this groundwork with these wisdom traditions, this idea of Jesus as wisdom. But Dr. De Silva also gets into some very specific claims that the author of Hebrews makes about Jesus.
Yeah.
Can you walk us through some of those?
Absolutely. So he uses a series of quotes from the Old Testament to really highlight Jesus's superiority.
Okay.
And it's fascinating to see how he links these passages to Jesus.
So, for example, he calls Jesus the heir of all things.
Right.
What does that mean?
Well, that's a direct reference to Psalm 2,
uh-huh.
which is a passage about the Davidic king, you know, the Messiah who will rule over all nations.
Okay.
And the author of Hebrews applies this messianic prophecy to Jesus proclaiming him as the true heir, not just to the throne of Israel, but to all of creation.
So he's basically saying Jesus is the ultimate king.
Exactly. Ruler of everything.
Wow.
And then to further kind of solidify this point, he goes on to say that God created the world through Jesus.
So he's not just the heir, but he's the architect.
Yes, exactly. He built it all.
And that connects right back to those wisdom traditions.
He does.
It's like saying, remember Lady Wisdom.
Right.
The one who was there with God at creation. Well, that's Jesus.
Exactly. He's tapping into these familiar concepts to make this really powerful statement about Jesus's cosmic significance.
Hmm. And it doesn't stop there.
No, it doesn't.
He also describes Jesus as the exact representation of God's glory and the stamp of his being.
Right.
Okay, can you break that down for me? Because that's a bit of a mouthful.
Sure. Think of it like a perfect reflection, a mirror image.
Okay.
In Jesus, we see the fullness of God's nature, his character, his love, his power.
So if we want to know what God is like,
yeah,
we just look at Jesus.
That's the idea. And it has huge implications for how we understand God's heart, his values, his desires for us.
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
But why does the author spend so much time emphasizing Jesus's permanence?
That's a great question. And I think it has a lot to do with his audience. Remember, these were people who had faced incredible challenges.
Right.
Persecution, rejection because of their faith in Jesus.
Yeah, they had lost a lot.
They lost their social standing, their security, maybe even their families.
So they were probably feeling pretty shaken.
Oh, yeah. Definitely questioning everything, wondering if they had made the right choice.
And that's where the author comes in with this message of hope and reassurance.
Exactly. He's reminding them that even though the world is temporary, Jesus is eternal, unchanging.
So he's like the one constant that they can cling to.
Absolutely. And that message, I think, is just as relevant for us today.
Right.
You know, our world is constantly shouting at us about what matters, what's valuable, what will make us happy.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It is.
A lot of noise.
And the author of Hebrews is urging us to look beyond those fleeting things of this world.
Right.
And ground our lives on something eternal. Jesus the Son, the perfect reflection of God's love and glory.
That's a powerful message, and it brings us back to that central question. Why compare Jesus to angels at all?
Right. So by establishing Jesus's superiority to these powerful heavenly beings,
yeah,
the author is making a really profound statement about the authority and the urgency of Jesus's message.
Mm.
It's like saying, if the law given through angels was taken seriously, how much more should we heed the message delivered by the Son, who is greater than the angels?
Wow, that puts things in perspective.
It does.
We've covered so much ground already.
We have.
From understanding the author's writing techniques to those Jewish wisdom traditions.
Yeah.
But there's still so much more to uncover in this passage.
There is. We haven't even gotten to the climax of this section where the author really drives home the consequences of neglecting Jesus's message.
Right.
And trust me, it's a wake-up call for all of us, even today.
Okay, so stay tuned, because in part two, we're diving into the serious stuff, the so what of it all.
Sounds good.
What happens if we don't take Jesus' message seriously? You won't want to miss it.
Definitely not.
Welcome back to our deep dive into the book of Hebrews.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Last time we were exploring the author's case for Jesus' superiority.
Right.
Especially compared to those angels. And how all of that connects to those Jewish wisdom traditions.
Exactly. And we were just about to get to the part where the rubber meets the road.
Right.
The consequences of not taking Jesus' message seriously.
So what part of the passage, as Dr. De Silva calls it,
yeah,
it's not just about understanding these beliefs, but what they mean for how we live.
Absolutely. The author of Hebrews is very concerned with the real world implications of what we believe.
And especially for his original audience.
Right.
Who were facing some very real challenges for following Jesus.
Yeah. They were really putting their lives on the line.
So he's not just throwing out these abstract ideas. He's really getting to the heart of how these beliefs should shape our lives.
Exactly. And he uses a really interesting strategy to emphasize this point.
Okay.
Something that Dr. De Silva calls a lesser to greater argument.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What is this lesser to greater argument all about?
Well, think of it this way. If the law given through angels,
right,
things like the Ten Commandments, all those rules and regulations, if that was taken so seriously with real consequences for breaking it, how much more should we heed the message that's delivered by the Son who is greater than the angels?
So it's like saying, if you're worried about getting a speeding ticket, shouldn't you be even more concerned about ignoring the words of someone who holds your eternal destiny?
Exactly. It really highlights the importance of this.
Yeah.
The author's basically saying this isn't something you can afford to ignore. The stakes are incredibly high.
So what are those stakes exactly?
Mm-hmm.
What happens if we neglect this great salvation that the author keeps talking about?
He doesn't get into specifics here.
Okay.
But he uses this vivid image of drifting away. So imagine you're on a ship, and if you're not paying attention, you're going to drift off course,
right,
away from safety into dangerous waters.
And in this case, drifting away means turning away from Christ, going back to a life without him.
Yeah, that's the idea. Remember the author's writing to people who have already experienced the transformative power of Jesus in their lives?
They've seen the difference he makes, the hope he offers, the community they found in him.
Exactly. So drifting away would mean losing all of that.
Going back to a life of emptiness and meaninglessness?
It could mean that, yeah. He's warning against complacency, taking this gift for granted,
right,
thinking we're safe just because we made a commitment to Christ at some point.
Right.
He's saying, no, it requires ongoing attention, a constant turning towards Christ,
right,
or we risk drifting away.
And this idea of drifting feels so relevant today.
It does, doesn't it?
Even if we aren't facing the same kind of persecution as those early Christians.
Right.
Our world is full of distractions.
Yeah.
That can pull us away from what really matters.
Absolutely. We might not be tempted to return to pagan temples or animal sacrifices.
Right.
But we face our own temptations.
Yeah.
Materialism, the pursuit of status,
yeah,
the constant flood of information and entertainment that can numb us to spiritual things.
It's like we're adrift in a sea of distraction.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to lose sight of the shore, that solid ground of our faith.
That's a great image. And the author of Hebrews is offering us a lifeline, an anchor to hold on to in those rough waters.
Yeah.
He's pointing us back to Jesus.
Reminding us that he's the source of true hope and security.
Exactly.
Now, this brings us to something else Dr. De Silva points out.
Yeah.
The author of Hebrews has kind of a unique view of salvation.
Right.
It's not exactly how many Christians think about it today.
No, it's not. He describes salvation as a future inheritance.
Okay.
Something we receive at the end of our journey with Christ, not the beginning.
So it's not just a one-time thing like say this prayer and you're saved.
Right.
It's more of a process, a journey of becoming more like Christ over time.
Exactly. It's like we're on a pilgrimage heading towards this glorious destination.
Okay.
And salvation is the ultimate reward, the inheritance we receive when we reach the end.
So it's not something we can take for granted. We need to actively pursue it.
Absolutely.
Live our lives in a way that prepares us for that final inheritance.
That's the idea. And this understanding of salvation has a huge impact on how we live our lives today.
Right.
It should motivate us to persevere in our faith,
right,
to resist temptation,
right,
to invest in things that have eternal value.
Knowing that our efforts are not in vain, that there's this reward waiting for us.
Yeah, exactly.
And that connects back to that idea of drifting away. of not taking our faith seriously.
Right.
We could miss out on that inheritance.
We could. And the author of Hebrews isn't trying to scare us into obedience.
Right.
He's trying to awaken us to the incredible opportunity that we have.
Yeah.
To the beauty of what awaits us if we stay faithful to Christ.
It's like he's saying, don't settle for this mediocre, half-hearted faith. Jump in with both feet. Embrace the adventure of following Christ.
Yes, that's a great way to put it. It's a call to live a life of passion, purpose, and joy, knowing that we're not just wandering aimlessly through this world.
Right.
We're part of something so much bigger.
A story that ends in victory.
Exactly. And an eternal inheritance for those who remain faithful.
Wow. This has been such an eye-opening exploration of Hebrews.
It has.
But Dr. DeSilva still has more to share with us, right?
He does. And in part three, we're going to look at how the author connects the message of salvation to the reliability of those who first proclaimed it.
Okay.
It's a fascinating look at the role of eyewitnesses and how God himself confirmed the truth of the gospel.
So stay tuned for the final part of our deep dive.
Sounds good.
Where we'll continue to uncover those treasures hidden in this passage from Hebrews. Welcome back to our deep dive into Hebrews.
Yeah, glad to be here.
We've been exploring this passage,
really
unpacking the author's argument for Jesus' superiority.
Right.
Especially, you know, when you compare him to angels.
Yeah.
And this urgent call to really pay attention to his message.
Exactly. And as we kind of wrap up this exploration,
yeah,
I think it's important to highlight something that Dr. DeSilva points out.
Right.
The author of Hebrews doesn't just rely on his own authority or like clever arguments.
Right.
He goes a step further, emphasizing the reliability of the message itself.
Okay.
By pointing to those who were eyewitnesses to Jesus's ministry.
So people who saw this stuff firsthand?
Exactly. And not just that, but also the confirmation that was provided by God himself.
So it's like he's saying, look, I'm not making this up. People saw this.
Yeah.
And God backed it up.
Exactly. He's appealing to both human testimony and divine confirmation.
A two-pronged approach.
Yeah. To really solidify the credibility of the gospel.
It makes sense, especially for an audience that might be wrestling with doubts or uncertainties.
Right. You know, they're wondering if they've made the right choice.
Exactly.
And they need some reassurance.
And what better reassurance than those who had walked with Jesus.
Right.
Witness his miracles firsthand. Heard his teachings directly.
Absolutely. It's like having a direct link back to the source.
Yeah. And it's not just about that human testimony.
Right.
The author of Hebrews also really emphasizes the role of the Holy Spirit.
He does.
In confirming this truth of the gospel. He talks about God bearing witness with signs and wonders and various miracles and distributions of the Holy Spirit according to his will.
It's not just what people said, but what God did.
Yeah, he was actively involved.
Yes.
Showing the truth of this message.
Absolutely. And these signs and wonders weren't just random displays of power.
Right.
They were directly connected to the proclamation of the gospel.
God's seal of approval.
Exactly. Authenticating both the message and the messengers.
It's like God was saying, this is it. This is what I want you to know.
Exactly. It's a powerful reminder that the gospel isn't just something that humans invented.
Right.
It's a message that comes from God himself.
Revealed and confirmed through his actions in history.
Yeah. Wow. This has been an incredible journey through this passage in Hebrews.
Yes.
We've uncovered so many layers of meaning.
Well, yeah.
You know, from the author's writing techniques to those connections with Jewish wisdom traditions.
And the significance of that divine confirmation.
Absolutely. It's amazing how much depth and richness is packed into these few verses.
It really is.
And it speaks to the power of Scripture to kind of speak across time.
Right.
You know, offering these timeless truths that are just as relevant for us today as they were back then.
Absolutely. So as we kind of wrap up this deep dive, what is like the one key takeaway that you want our listeners to remember? What's the nugget of wisdom they can take from this exploration of Hebrews?
I think the most important thing to remember is just the urgency and the gravity of Jesus's message.
Mm.
The author of Hebrews goes to great lengths to establish Jesus's superiority, his unique authority, the divine confirmation of his message.
Right.
And he does all of this to underscore that this isn't something we can just ignore.
Yeah, it's not just another self-help philosophy or a religious option on the buffet of spirituality.
Right.
It's this call to radical transformation.
Yes.
A call to really center our lives around Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
The one who is greater than the angels, the one who holds the keys to our eternal destiny.
Exactly. And it's also a call to live a life of purpose, meaning, and joy.
Right.
Knowing that we're not just wandering aimlessly through this world.
We're part of something much grander.
Yes. A story that ends in victory and an eternal inheritance for those who remain faithful to him.
Powerful reminder that our choices really matter.
They do.
How we live today has eternal consequences.
Yeah.
It's a call to pay attention.
Yes.
To be present to this wonder and beauty of the gospel.
Uh-huh.
To let it sink deep into our hearts.
Yeah.
And transform us from the inside out.
Absolutely. So as you go about your day, your week, your life, ask yourself,
yeah,
am I giving Jesus's message the attention that it deserves? Am I living in light of these eternal realities that the author of Hebrews so powerfully kind of unveils for us?
And remember, as we've seen in this deep dive, understanding Jesus also helps us understand God.
Yes.
His heart, his values, his desires for us.
Absolutely.
So let's keep digging deeper into Scripture, seeking to know Jesus more fully so we can reflect his love and grace more brightly in the world.
I love that.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, keep diving deep.